Riders.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
To the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, thanking God for another day of being here. We all know that everything that goes down in a minute can take your life away, so we're thankful for another day of being here and able to do this. To Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York City with the best of live R&B events all over the best of venues as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. He's already gotten started for the summer, everybody. So head over to the Track One Entertainment website. That's track1entertainment.web.com and check out what's on his calendar and see if you can be a part of it. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yezes, DJ Domer, Galatin Williams, Monster Miles, and Deacon Betty Williams, our activist from Henry from Toledo, Ohio, thanking you guys for all that you do on and off the air and in your individual communities to keep the mission of the show going. So thank you all. To my starting panelists, Altariq Atkins, Professor Carl Sloan Jones, Patrick Irvine, Altariq Atkins, Taylor Jenkins, Erica Talbert, and Darlene and Arlene, you guys have been phenomenal in all of your contributions, discussionary and otherwise, so I thank you for that. To my social media neighborhood cheerleaders out there, Mark Pittman, tonight's sponsor with the Real World Black News and Discussions Group, the Black History Suppress Group, Sir Katie Barnett, and the On the Edge Listeners Lounge, to Linda Miller, the Black Love and Conversations Group, Marvin Young, the Capitalist End Group, to Patrick Irvine and the Urban Intellectuals Group, and to Sonny Gibson and the Black Mama Group. You guys have been phenomenal with your contributions to the pre-broadcast topic discussion. I want to thank our sister networks, Jason Dodd with the AM-FM 247 networks, to Devon Lewis in Toledo, Ohio with the 93.1 Jam-Packed radio station, and to our upcoming other station, the GoPro Radio Network with Tylon Washington, another one of our very avid supporters. So I want to thank all of you for that. Now, you guys have been hearing all of the last 2 to 3 days introducing and promoting this guest that we're going to have tonight. You have heard his songs here on the panel. You have heard him on the showcase. He's an awesome artist speaking about Black awareness. He's a Christian rapper. His name is Paul P.R. Robinson, known to the world as P.R. I am excited as all hell to make sure that he is here. I'm glad that he has taken the time out to be with us tonight. He is going to give his amazing input as to what's behind his music, the things that he deals with, the stuff that he feels about our state of the Black community. You guys know the show is definitely about repairing and restoring that. That's where we were. You know, we've dealt with all sorts of the things that he speaks about in his music. We have heard it here live on the show. And tonight he's going to be speaking about all that. We welcome you to call in at 347-327-9967 to ask him any questions, to share your thoughts. We're going to be speaking on all sorts of things that's going on in our community. No matter how often we've heard it before, but we are seeing it on a daily basis, and it needs to happen. So, you know how this goes, going out with a pre-discussion song, our word from our sponsors, we will be back to get this party started, and we will be going out first with PR's 1 of 3 singles on this forum tonight. It is called So Tired. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
ain't an activist. I'm just a man that's from America, but they still call him my African. Slash American, but he should just be American. They say he white, but they don't call him European. They say I'm black when I fill out my application. My skin brown, I think somebody was mistaken. Why you need to know what my race is, you racist? What my skin color got to do with job placement? Shouldn't this be about skill? This shouldn't be how you feel about me, how I dress, if I pay my light bill. I can understand you wanting to know if I steal, but if I say no, when I will, you shouldn't be in my grill, looking in my face, in my eyes, trying to see if I lie. Would you have taken my word for it if I would have wore a suit and tie? What if my skin was a little lighter, a little brighter, a little whiter, and I had a felony? Would you catch the case of all time for me being who I am and you being who you are? We both know that my complexion does play a major part, and that's not fair. Let's switch chairs. Let me see if you like what you do. Look down on you like you only stood 2'2". Don't even read your application. You white, I call you. See, that's what y'all do. Make my people feel not equal. This happens to the older generation. We the sequel. I know you think we slow. Look at my ancestors. I don't think so. We did so much for this country, but you still want more. First open heart surgery. Stop life. The clock to see if I'm late or not. The mail you send it, who made the box? The janitor that you look down on. Who you think made the mop? George Washington, Carver's, Benjamin Banneker, all of us. No, it wouldn't be no Steve Jobs if it wasn't for Mark Dean, Charles Drew, Madam C.J. Walker, just to name a few. But y'all think that we dumb, cage us in like we some type of animals, barely feed us, cannibals. We feed off each other, we eat off each other. So what y'all do, devise a plan to bring down the brother man? No 40 acres, just some crack and some heroin. No mules, some rules are meant to be broken. Like selling the drugs you put in the neighborhood, y'all must be joking. Of course they smoking, of course they shooting up, of course they think they worthless. To y'all, that's picture perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Black man, wake up, this is a state of emergency, my brother tried to murder me. Black man, what's up, another one just got hit up, another one just got picked up.
I'm not afraid to
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, you guys heard that amazing single. You guys have heard it before. It's been on a while. Most of you have called in, a lot of feedback about it. It's amazing. It's intense. And we are going to have the man behind the music right here live on the show in just a few minutes. So let's get started on what it is that we are having this segment for tonight. Now, we have been on the air for a year. You guys have been involved with all of the discussions about the state of our African-American communities. And if that song didn't cover almost all the bases of everything that we speak about, even though in this respect, most of it he spoke about what's happening to us and then the effects of that on what we do to ourselves. He spoke about internal hating among each other. He spoke about the discrimination that you get, just what Katie likes to call guilty while black. Well, that's what we're facing today. You guys that have been on the show with me the last week have heard just how lives and in person, racism, hatred, prejudice, ignorance, in our own community, because it's easier to cover up our eyes and our ears and you know, seal up our mouths about it, prefer to go with what's not the elephant in the room. We prefer to go around the beast and try to pretend that this is not blocking our path. Well, you know, Katie doesn't say anything less than what is, and I really don't care who doesn't like it in that respect. So with that being said, how are we going to start making a difference? We know what they're going to do. We know what they've done. We know what they're still doing. What are we going to do? It's us that has to control the situation. It's us that has to start taking what little we do have, or at least what we perceive to have, to make things right, to fight back, to give our children the village that's been lost, to give them some sense of direction, to tell them that all hope is not lost. This is a man that has taken whatever life experiences he has gone through from the bad side of the tracks. He has turned his life around. He's become a Christian rapper. He has the greatest of sound. So it's not like, you know, little kids are listening and going, hey, wait a minute, that sounds too churchy. No, he's hitting us with everything we understand, and he's telling us everything there is to be said. So it's an honor for me to have gotten this interview. I'm one of his biggest fans, and he's just so humble, but he's intense, and you know, I can't say any more about the man. So I believe he's already on the line. So without further ado, welcome OTE listeners to Mr. P.R. Robinson.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the show, darling. What's up?
What's going on with you? How you doing?
I'm good. I just have to tell you once again, I know I've already told you and know you heard it, but this is an honor for me. Okay. There's very few rap artists out there that give a darn about social responsibility to their society. Many of them are living on the struggle. You know, I should say they're using the struggle for their rags-to-riches story. But once they get to the riches side of things, we don't hear much about them giving back. We don't hear much about them trying to promote awareness in the position that they have. So I want you to tell our listeners what it is that you were inspired by to create the type of music and the messages that you create. So start with that, Paul.
The inspiration comes from just the neighborhood, just seeing the people's faces, just seeing the kids' faces. I look at my kids' face, and I want them to have better than I had. I want them to be able to do more than I was able to do. You know what I'm saying? So if I could touch, I start looking at my musical gifts, like the gift that God gave me, because I was just using it for my own benefit. You know what I'm saying? Rapping, trying to get the glory, trying to have people say, "Oh, you're the hottest rapper." You know what I'm saying? But in turn, I wasn't reaching who I was supposed to reach. I was reaching the same people that these rappers are already reaching. You know what I'm saying? Once I got saved, I wanted to change the mindset of the people, and I said I can do that with my gift. You know what I'm saying? The motivation is when I write a rhyme and people like you, such as yourself, saying, "Oh my goodness, this is so what needs to be heard out here in the world. This is what people need to see. This is what our people need to hear. This is what they're starving for." You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes me say, you know what, let me keep doing this, because you actually got the message. And if you got the message, I know other people are getting the message too. So that's pretty much my motivation for the whole concept of what I'm trying to do for the black community. A lot of my music touches the black community because that's where I come from. I come from the hood. I come from the struggle. You know what I'm saying? Like I told you, I didn't say this on air, but I come from California. I was born in San Diego, and that was the nicer part of it. But my grandpa died, and that's what caused us to move to Detroit, and I actually seen the other side. You understand what I'm saying? So I got to see both tastes, and I'm like, how come the black neighborhoods don't have the playgrounds like the white neighborhoods? How come the black neighborhoods only have alleys with rocks and, you know, you're just trying to figure out a game to play, and the white neighborhoods got the playgrounds, the white neighborhoods have, you know, cut grass and everything looks nice and is landscaped and all that, but the black neighborhoods don't even have grass. The black neighborhoods, you understand what I'm saying? You see the difference that I'm tying into? So it's just like I noticed that at a young age. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I agree with you totally, because I live in a pretty decent neighborhood, okay? You know, a pretty decent black neighborhood. And I will tell you something. There's a little playground that's down the block from my house. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've got a big old soccer field, which I'm really happy to say that, you know, if you were to come to my neck of the woods, the soccer field really shows the side of the black community and what the essence of African Americans are that the media refuses to show. And you see these community organizations trying to keep sports alive for our young kids, trying to keep, you know, organized events and community activities alive. And that's not what the rap world shows you. That's not what white mainstream America shows you. They show us as thugs. They show us as fathers that leave their babies. They show us as baby mamas with 50 people. They don't know who the baby is on Maury. The baby's dad is, I should say, on Maury. But one of the things that I will say about this particular park is it's wonderful in the daytime. But you come out at night and see if you can find one light in that park.
Wow.
There's not one light. As beautiful as it is, there's not one light in that park. Now, this has been going on a while. So as I guess I was telling you earlier, and I say on the show often, who do you blame for that? You don't blame them. They're not going to come in and help people they don't care about or like. But enough noise to be made by the people that it affects should be where the outrage comes from.
And you're absolutely right. Like it's a lot of people want to put the blame, you know, on the white man, in which we can do to an extent. But at the same time, you got to start. Let's say when you point your finger, you got three pointing back at you. So if your community sees that there needs lights, the men in that community need to step up and put lights in that park. You understand what I'm saying? To put the lights in. So it's up to us. My whole thing is when I put my music out, Kay, I put my music out as a reference so we can say, let's look within ourselves to build up ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? Don't look for nobody else to do it for us because they're not going to do it. They haven't. It's only going to get worse if we're waiting on them to do it. We have to step outside the box and say, you know what, I'm tired of this. Don't care what nobody says and just do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I do with my music. Like, my music is not a music that's going to get everybody to say, oh, he's the dopest. Nah, it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers. A lot of people like the song Catch 'Em. I got a lot of mixed reviews on that. People didn't like it. They didn't like me speaking what I'm speaking because they're not used to it. You understand what I'm saying? When you're used to a certain form of music, you're used to a certain form of lifestyle, and then somebody comes and throws a curveball in it, you got an attitude. That's like if it's dark and somebody turns the light on and you was trying to get some rest, you're going to be like, oh, man, what are you doing? Now you're exposed. So it's just like, that's what we have to do. We got to step outside of our comfort zone and do something that's going to wake up our community and that's going to make a difference.
You know what? I usually tell my guests who made such a powerful statement to drop the mic, but since I need you here on the interview, you can't go anywhere. But what I will say to you is absolutely, absolutely, listen, they're not going to do it. We are too much in the dark, not unknowingly in the dark, like we're running into the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And I say on this show often that if whatever we're talking about, if those shoes don't fit you, don't step into them.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that this affects or this is truthful about is going to sit up there and get offended by it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not one of those people, then you should be as angry as we are and try to do something. But we have, you know, we have to look at self-reflection. That's one thing. We're too busy trying to just point the finger, like you say, and don't think about, okay, well, that's the problem. Now, what can we do about it? Okay, we know this. We have heard for 500 years what they've done to us. What are we doing about it?
Mm-hmm.
Modern day society owes our ancestors the obligation to keep the torch going.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're right, and it's like the thing is too, like what Harriet Tubman said. I put it at the end of the Willie Lynch video, and she said, "I would have saved a lot more people if they would have known that they were slaves." A lot of these people don't know that they're in triumph. They don't know that they're in the struggle. They don't know that they're in a battle because they got comfortable inside of it. Just like when Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt. What were they complaining about? They weren't complaining about, oh, it's cold, none of that. They said they wanted to go back because they had onions and spices and all that good stuff, but they would rather be slaves with the onions and spices and all that good stuff instead of being free without it. And that's the thing about our communities. We would rather be slaves with our iPhones, slaves with our Jordans, slaves with our new clothes on, you know what I'm saying? But instead of being free without none of that. Me, I'd rather be free and naked than a slave with everything. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what we gotta put that in these young kids' minds because they're just waking up and just walking right into the cycle that's already put before them. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, that's my job is to wake up these young kids as best as possible. A lot of them might not get it. You know what I'm saying? At first, but we just keep going. We just keep going. We keep trucking. If that one didn't work, we're going to put out another one. If that one didn't work, we're going to put out another one until it actually catches on. Because one thing about it is it's more regular people than it is crazy people. You understand what I'm saying? If you understand what I'm saying, like, everybody's not a criminal-minded person. Everybody's not a thug. Everybody is not a killer. Everybody's not a gangster. It's a lot of people who work 9-to-5s and are trying to just survive and take care of their families. But you don't see those type of people on the news or on the videos. You only see the people that they want to portray as our black people who are our spokespeople. And those are the wrong people who are speaking for us because they're not up in our race. They're downing it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And you know something? Once again, I'm going to ask the question. All of those mainstream media depictions of us, who is to blame? We're out there being sold by the first zero that comes up that we don't see on our regular paychecks and say, yeah, I'll go be a housewife of Atlanta. Yeah, I'll go be a basketball wife. Sure, I don't mind being on the arm of a racist as his mistress. Mm-hmm. You know, no mm-hmm. problem with me, you know, being a thug and cursing out my woman on TV. No mm-hmm. problem. You know, yeah, mm-hmm. you know what our outrage is going to be? The L.A. Clippers. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that heard me, made the mistake before, I got the name right this time. you know, yeah, because I was looking at a LeBron James story while I was trying to talk about the L.A. Clippers, and I mixed the two up. But anyway, the L.A. Clippers, the most outrage we have after this stone-faced man, because I always say when I look at him, he belongs on Mount Rushmore with the other okay? So I'm sitting here like, you let this crinkly old man call you niggers, call you nobody, say that, you know what, you to his girlfriend, you can screw them or whatever you want, just don't bring them around the landscaping, okay? Mm-hmm. Magic mm-hmm. Johnson, he's my best dude, but he's still a black man, so guess what? He don't belong there either. So mm-hmm. you could say all of this, and the best that we could do on retaliation is to go on the field, on the court, and turn the jerseys around for 2 whole minutes, mm-hmm. and then take them off and play the game and give this man more money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best we could do. And then to the fans of those people, the best we could do is stay outside the stadium for a couple of extra minutes, tell our kids we're mad, blow up a bullet or something in the air, and go back in and watch the game. So what are they going to think about our pride for ourselves if that's what the most that we'll do? They study us.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right, 100%. And that's the thing. We have to it comes a time where the anger has to burn. Like back in the days in the 60s, it was organizations who were preaching this stuff. You had the Panthers, you had the Civil Rights Movement, you had the Muslims, you had Malcolm X, you had so much information that was being given out on every street corner for the young people to pick up. So it was always something for them to do. Now there's nothing. Like if you really think about it, like you really have to Google an organization for you to get part of instead of walking down the street and say, hey, young brother, won't you come over here and come over here so we can talk to you about this revolution. We can talk to you about the black people. We can talk to you. There's none of that no more. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to do with Against the Grain. Against the Grain is something me and my partners in my creative marketing director, we all came up with this Against the Grain because what we're trying to do is everything that they're saying, we're going the opposite. You understand what I'm saying? We are trying to curve it because the best way to make something corny is to drown it out. So what we're doing is, okay, we're going to drown out y'all message with our message. We're just going to keep pushing it on you, keep pushing it on you, keep pushing it on you until you see it against the grain. And you know what against the grain is. If you go against the grain, it means you're going backwards. You got to go against it so you can cause the friction. You understand what I'm saying? So then once it starts rooting, then you have – it's so big in my head I can't even get it out the way I want to say it. But like I'm saying, like against the grain is something that we are trying to take to the next level so we can let people know what they're talking about is ridiculous. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to uplift my people. I'm trying to bring hope back into the community. When I ride down in the neighborhoods around here, everybody has the same facial expression. It's just the expression of just drained, the expression of no hope, the expression of what's next. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're going to do with Against the Grain. That's what's next.
Absolutely. Listen, your songs are powerful. Now, I do have 2 panelists that are coming in to ask you some questions. But before I do, ladies and gentlemen, here is PR's supposed to be, according to the world outside of us, controversial song, Willie Lynch. And when we get back, we'll take the questions, okay? So, PR, hang out with me a little bit, okay?
Okay, no doubt, sis.
All right, be back in just a bit.
Know who he is, man, so do y'all research, man. Let's go. Live in a world where they kill kids to make
point to pay the media to hype it up to make us anoint. They found a way to tax and now it's cool to smoke a joint. When Dave Chappelle turned bread down to save a soul, they made it look like it's crazy, the truth won't be told. I remember when the devil used to love rock and roll. Now he a fan of hip hop cause he want mass control. He used our people to get our people to kill our people. Now that we doing it, they can say that they treat us equal. You got rappers saying it's wrong, but it's just as wrong. Remember Cisco had the whole world wearing thongs. He beat us down to make us say, can we all get along? These youngins only know to strap up, gun and palm. Smoking like he blowing out a water bomb. I gotta say the bull, this is a hypocrite. Teach his own, but you feeding our children ignorance. Ride around selling dope, shooting folks up. Back to your mansion right after the director say cut. This ain't a diss, it's reality, don't get mad at me. They got you killing your family for a salary. If this is family ties, who's playing Mallory? Can't be around these frogs, mess up my allergies. I always knew that I would die for a real cause. Apostle Paul, but militant like Tupac Shakur. The doctor give you medicine, but Jesus is the cure. Cause I was blind, but now I see. Enough to say that the enemy is you and me. And I was deaf, but now I hear. Good enough to catch the hate growing in my ear. And oh yeah, the Ku Klux Klan is now ran by the black man. Cause the black man had killed more black men than them. Cause the black man enslaved himself. Willie Lynch, you sell drugs and you killing your people. That's Willie Lynch. You get high, you were still from your people. That's Willie Lynch. It makes sense to put my life down for these kids in the game. And if one change, I ain't dying in vain. I used to think I was Kane. My man was old dog, used to be my road dog. Caught my man slipping and he got his head blown off. Sound familiar? Everybody got a story like it. And if they don't, they know somebody who was just like it. I know somebody that's dead gone, they dead wrong. That's why they dead gone, but you can never say it right. The one that's murdered, be the cool one, let me get this right. He robbed, still killed people at will. But when you bring this up, his family got the nerve to say chill. But it's real, it's consequences. Not to mention the proposition was kind of gifted, cause he ain't have a pot to piss in. Look at his baby picture, smiling all innocent. 17 years later, hoping they say innocent. Guilty verdict, when he heard it, his future murdered. Went to the store to get a soda, but he got a murder. Where did he get the burner? He shouldn't even have a burner. Better yet, need a burner. Somebody needs to speak to the journal. I was blind, but now I see. Enough to say that the enemy is you and me. And I was deaf, but now I hear. Good enough to catch the hate growing in my ear. And oh yeah, the Ku Klux Klan is now ran by the black man. Cause the black man had killed more black men than them. Cause the black man enslaved himself. Willie Lynch. If you a father, but you ain't a daddy, that's Willie Lynch. If you a man that don't take care of your family, that's Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch is the mindset we have in the ghetto. When we hate our own kind, all we need is a cosign. And we'll walk up on our brother with a nine and let it go. I was blind, but now I see. Enough to say that the enemy is you and me. And I was deaf, but now I hear. Good enough to catch the hate growing in my ear. And oh yeah, the Ku Klux Klan is now ran by the black man. Cause the black man had killed more black men than them. Cause the black man enslaved himself. Willie Lynch.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Ooh, welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. You're listening to some amazing tracks by Christian rapper P.R. Robinson. He's in the studio with us, spinning some wonderful power and knowledge out here. I'm going to bring him back in, and we are going to take some questions in just a minute. So hold on 1 second.
How you doing? You like that, Joe?
I love the joint. I love all three of these things. I was going to play catch him first, but I think this one needed to come up first after So Tired. So let me ask you this before I bring in our other guests. What inspired you to do Willie Lynch?
Willie Lynch, I always heard of Willie Lynch, but somebody posted a article about Willie Lynch, and I actually read the whole thing. And it was just like it started making so much sense just seeing the parallels from what he was saying in that doctrine versus what we're actually going through. You know, at my job, I go through a lot with the – because in the doctrine, he says put the old versus the young. And I see that at my job, like the older black people at my job, it's like they feel threatened. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When a young guy comes in on the job, They'll instead of trying to give that young brother some game and like, hey, do this, that, and the other, they'll rather tell on you and get you in trouble. So that, you know, that played a part in it. Just seeing how light skin versus dark skin, how age versus old versus the young, just all the parallels that he was saying. It was just like, wow, we need, if somebody was to actually write something like a song and put that out, maybe that might make people wake up in their conscience, like to see, like, wow, that was written back in the 1700s, and it's still relevant today in 2013, because I wrote it in 2013. So it was just like, for if I could actually pin that and make people see the parallels in that, I think that would be dope, you know what I'm saying? And it came to pass like that. So that was my thought pattern when I wrote that song, you know what I'm saying? Because I was just like, man, this is crazy, because you see it in the hood, just the negative vibes. We are our worst enemies, man. We are. We'll downgrade somebody. I'd rather rob my brother, you know what I'm saying, that has the same thing that I have, you know what I'm saying, instead of us trying to get together and make a plan so we both can get out of this situation that we are. But I'd rather take from him and leave him with nothing, and I'll take a little bit of his pennies, and I'm still broke. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just too much. We're our worst enemies. And that's what triggered that song.
And we definitely are, because, you know, I think about, you know, Malcolm X. He did all this stuff, and he spread all this knowledge, and everybody followed him. But in the end, who took him down?
His brother.
No, mm-hmm. And that's the sad part, because at the end mm-hmm. of the day, we're still so caught up in a confused state in our program thinking that we are so afraid to let go of what little tidbits of what we perceive to be a bit of the white privilege, that we don't know what to do about ourselves. You know, even those of us in our community that actually got a little piece of knowledge and power and established themselves, mm-hmm. what winds up happening is we tend to take it outside of the community. Mm-hmm. We tend to turn on our own and try to get bigger individualistically than we do as a community, meaning, like you said, pass some knowledge. The older people are too afraid that, you know, there's going to be somebody younger and hotter and more eager to take them out the way. And that is part of what's been programmed into our elders' head, mm-hmm. you know?
It's the trick that the slave master put on a slave. He divided us. When he put the house nigga inside of the house and kept the field nigga in the field, he turned. They both was talking about each other. It wasn't just the uppity house guy, the house boy in the house saying, "Oh y'all, I'm better than y'all." The cotton pickers was coming at him too. Oh, look at this, Uncle Tom, this, that, and the other. They both was bickering about each other in their own places. So that just kept building and kept building to where it turned into hate. And that's where we are today. It's like everybody's bickering, everybody's complaining, everybody's talking about the brother, and all that's doing is causing hate and confusion. And we're not getting nowhere, you know what I'm saying? And that's what the song is pretty much for. Is this is like, you know what? Let's forget all the stuff, like you said, us being programmed, and start all over and come together as a people and as a whole. Because we are strong people. We come from slaves, man. And when I say we come from slaves, we come from slaves who had to walk from wherever that boat landed. It could have been in Texas. It could have been in Florida, and have to walk all the way to wherever the plantation was. And then you would get sold and have to walk another however many miles back. It could be winter, it could be summer, it didn't even matter. That's where we come from. And they survive, and that's running through our blood right now. So there's no weakness in us, but we have been programmed to be weak. We have been programmed to accept whatever's given to us, and it's time for us to step outside that box.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, there's two little stories that I always think about when I think with exactly what you just said. One is the words of Malcolm X when you saw the biography with Denzel, you know, playing Malcolm, mm-hmm. when he was telling his people that, you know, you think about the programming in the minds of the house slave versus the field slave, where the house slave adapted this collective thinking. When the master said, you know, we got a good thing here. Yeah, boss, we sure do have a thing here. You mm-hmm. know, so it was that. Then I thought about, and I brought this up in a previous segment, how as much as we are sort of locked into this hypnotic programming, if you remember the movie RoboCop 2, mm-hmm. and I bring this up and everybody looks at me like, RoboCop 2, or where this is going. This is where it's going. When he realized that that little brat kid that was trying to take over the world or whatever it was had programmed him to act like a total idiot instead of going out there to stop the very people he was, you know, pushing out there to go do more crime. When he started realizing he was letting crime get away and he was programmed to fight crime, he told his partner, something is wrong and I've got to shake it. So what he did was he found an electric breaker, okay, and he went and stuffed his hands onto the electricity breaker, and what he did was he shut all the programming out of him and shut down his motherboard. So he started clear again. And so what I'm saying is we know what's out there. We know that they're like armed guards at every moment. They're silently, discreetly watching us. They're openly watching us and degrading us and dissecting us. And we're seeing this. And we know enough to be on social media for 3 days talking about it. We know enough to get out there and speak about it among our friends. But where is that shaking my head syndrome turning into shaking a leg? That's the problem that I have. So we definitely have to get to the point, you know, that we have to get to that proverbial circuit breaker and shake ourselves out of this hole that they have. You know, where, how long is it going to take for you to look at your kids and say, wait a minute, my son just got shot because he walked down the street wearing a hoodie. You know, when are we going to get to that point of saying, I'm tired of having to teach my modern-day preschooler ABC 1, 2, 3, and guess what? Assume the position. Hold your hands out if you ever get lost in the mall and you need a cop to help you find mommy and daddy. Make sure your pockets are turned inside out and your hands are straight out. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
We ain't tired. Well, we're not tired of that yet. I mean, aren't we? So I ask again, Black America, what more tragic pictures in this life slideshow do we need to get it together? How many more rappers like you, PR, got to come out and keep on saying this? How many more horrible things do we have to see on TV? How many more injustices have to happen? How many more satirical articles that have us once again circulating that old cyclic social media conversation has to go down? How many times do we wipe the sweat off our brow and say, ooh, it was a fake article, that's it? No, the article may have been fake, but the content behind it is real and alive and well.
You're right, so 100%.
This face value thinking has got to stop. So I'm going to bring in our panelists right now, okay? And like I said, thank you, man. You know, it's been one hell of a ride just with your songs alone. So to hear you here, it's an honor to me. So hang on 1 minute, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, this is Al Tariq calling from Wilson, Alabama.
Hey, Tech 9. All right, hold on a minute. I'm going to bring in one more person behind you. You have the mic first. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? This is Professor Carl Tone Jones calling from Philly.
Hey, Professor. All right. You're second up, darling, okay? Al Tariq, go ahead.
Yeah, I like what I heard, and that's something that PR came out with that right there. Like, that's something serious right there, and that's what we need. You know, the seriousness, the time in which we live is so serious, and I'm really proud that you made that. You know, that was very original and unique for you to come out with something based on that. You know, and that's something I just thought about that, and that's a great thing because that's definitely what's happening, you know, and I know that, you know, what you said, and that's a big part of the truth, but we wouldn't be, when you said we are worst enemies, but when you look at it, we had a foundation, and we was made to be our worst enemies. So it's still Willie Lynch, and it's still white supremacy, even though we're doing it to each other because we have their mind state. So until we do our minds, then, you know, and cast out these old European ways, which we are not. We're African. Our ancestry is African. You know, let alone the toughness that we came from slavery. We come from warriors before slavery. Okay? Master builders, master teachers. People thrive. The people came to us for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, going way back 10 Timbuktu and other places all around through there, you know. So we just have to bring that back, and I commend you for doing what you're doing, and I'm proud of you. I listen to people like, and I'm gonna be more listening to you just because of that song. I want to be listening out more. But, like, people like you that's coming with that flavor, that's what I've been waiting for, again, for a long time.
No doubt, man. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Like, you.
Yeah, I do want to tell you. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I do want to tell you that the next three people that you're about to hear, or you heard from one, but the next two people behind him, these are some powerful, like-minded thinking brothers. The professor was my first in this little network of people that's talking. And I begged him to come on tonight so that he can connect with you because he's right in your area. But
okay.
It's you guys. You guys. I mean, listen, you know what gets me more is I'm so proud to see more of our black men coming forth. I'll say it again. In this day and age, you guys are the most endangered species that there is. Mm. Okay? You are. Mm-hmm. You represent power. You represent essence. You represent leadership. You represent procreation. Everything that they want to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm honored, like you would not believe, just to be like in the presence of all of you guys.
It
so,
puts me in awe to see the response that I'm getting from this man. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate the brother just for speaking about the song Willie Lynch, you know what I mean, because he actually grabbed the message, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I want more people to do, just to grab the message. If you hear it, like if you like it, good brother, share it, man. It's on World Star. Just type in PR. On World Star, the video's on there, share it. However, if you're on social media, just share it, man. Just put it out there to the people, man, because they definitely need to hear it. And hopefully by me putting out a song like this, it'll make other people do it. Because there's other people. I'm not the only one. It's just we don't hear about them. We don't hear them. But pretty soon they're going to come out the woodworks, man, because there's so many people that are tired. They're tired, man. And that's all you hear people saying is, yo, we need something different. We need something different. They're out there. We just got to find them. And when we find them, we got to stand behind them and support them brothers, man.
Wow.
Right.
And I will say, like I told you earlier in the pre-interview discussion, that you are one of the people that are out there making that difference. You are one of the differences, just like these gentlemen here. Now, actually, my panel's lighting up. I don't know, people. I need to bring a celebrity on. All right, hold on a minute. Professor, you're next up. Let me just bring in our other panelists and then I'll hold on a minute. Hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Carlos Albie Jones with Stelo Jenkins. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, stranger. Hold on a second. Let me bring on
other
two people and you'll be after the professor, okay? Hold on one second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hello.
Speaking of Muhammad.
Hi, Brother Muhammad. How are you? All right, hang on a minute. You're going to be after him, and let me bring in the panelists behind you so nobody's on hold. Hold on a sec. Hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hello? Okay, hold on that one and one more. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? This is Hakeem.
Oh, my God. Hi. Welcome, stranger, too. All right. Hang on. All right. Professor, you're up, sweetheart.
Yeah. excuse me. I should have cleared my throat while I was waiting, right?
We'll talk after the show, dude.
I hear you. It's just refreshing to hear somebody out there with a message, you know, and it's about building the community. And it's also, it's really good to hear that, more brothers out there that are concerned about white supremacy, but more so about our role, like how do we handle it? The fact that we can't just lay down and take it, fact that we have to be on the offensive when dealing with this and become men of our communities and protectors of our communities. We have so many things happening. And just being in Harlem this last week, and feeling the vibe from New York City. I live in North Philadelphia, and I can attest to the people in the communities, they want something, but they just don't know what. And a lot of them are confused. And I think that by getting messages out through music, because not everybody wants to sit and listen to a lecture. Not everybody wants to sit and listen to a speaker. Not everybody wants to be preached to. But when you hear it, and you hear it in a song, and you can get the vibe to it, you get to move your head to it a little bit, sometimes it resonates a little better to those who aren't able to sit through a lecture and pick through the points and the peaks and valleys of those of the discussion. So I think that it's a very, very powerful tool that you're using, and is to go along with a very, very powerful message. And I also think that one of the things that we need to start doing is utilizing social media so that we can promote brothers like you and get you the exposure that you deserve to get that message out there. You know, I was watching something recently on CNN, I believe, and they were talking about for the first time ever, there were more active users of the internet streaming and downloading and whatever than actual people alive at one point last week. So that means that there were over 7 billion people or 7
streaming.
Billion machines operating, utilizing social media, utilizing the internet in some way, shape, or form. So we need to catch hold to this, and we need to be able to take these things and utilize it for the best, because we know the media is not owned by us, so they're not going to promote us. They're going to show the worst in us. They're going to show they're going to promote their product, which is white supremacy, by all means. We know that in order to get our messages out there, we need to take these tools that are at our behest, stop playing around with these tools like they're toys, and utilize them so that we can continue to build and take down this structure brick by brick and get this and get until we knock the building down.
That's 100%.
Before you continue, let me just let you know, Professor has his own Blog Talk radio show. And it's called From the Porch, and it is every Thursday, right? Thursday from 6 to 9.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's what's up. Because I'm right. I'm from Norristown, so I've been in North Philly all the time. Like, you know, what I'm saying, that's a hop, skip, and a jump. So I definitely want to link up with you. Maybe Kay can pass out the information or something like that. We could definitely get to conversating and chopping it up, man.
No doubt, brother. No doubt. We right there. We here.
I know exactly where you That's what's up.
Okay, Tino, before I go to the next guest, I have to ask you something. Can you catch him? There's one little word I can't get, and I said when I get you, I'm going to ask you. You say catch him at the bar, flashing bills, catching what?
No Hillary.
Oh,
flashing
okay,
bills,
you.
No Hillary. You know what I'm saying? Hillary Clinton, you know what I'm saying? It's just a little, just a way to just some creative. It's nothing really. You know what I mean? But flashing bills,
no Hillary.
No,
but I thought I heard Hillary. I just said, what the hell is Hillary? Okay. Before I go, Stalo, you're up next, but I need to try to get this panelist, I guess they need me calling in. Let me just make sure they're on the panel. Hang on. Oh, Lord. And I got a slow connection. Hang on. Hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Okay. All right. So, Stalo, you're up, bud.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I like the song most definitely. I think it was an awesome, awesome song. Matter of fact, it's great that you put that into a music medium, you know, and it's great that you was able to do it. And I'm really feeling the way it was presented, you know, and you know, with the Willie Lynch of it, man, we deal with it every day, you know, and we deal with it on the surface level, man, and not only do we deal with it on the surface level, but we deal with it on like a hidden level, whereas when we as a people deal with the Willie Lynchism within ourselves, you know, within the way we interact with one another and everything, it's hard to look at it from a self-critical standpoint. And it's hard to look at it in general. You know, it's just hard to look at it anyway. So I commend you, brother, for putting it out there the way you did, because you're going to have a lot of naysayers, too. You know?
Yeah. I got a lot of naysayers from that song. But it's like,
I'm telling you,
I'd rather have a naysayer, because now the naysayers is looking at themselves. You know what I'm saying? They might put it out there and say, oh, this joint corny, this, that, and the other, but they still looking at themselves. Damn, but brother was speaking the truth in this joint. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I should switch up, because that's my whole point. I'm not the one. I can't stop you from doing it. All I can do is make you conscious of what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I do through the music. And a lot of people don't know that I'm actually preaching to myself. some of them songs and some of the verses being if you're a father but you ain't a daddy, that's Willie Lynch. I'm preaching to myself, you know what I'm saying, because I have kids. So, like, it's a lot of times, like, I have kids outside of my wife. I have three other kids, and sometimes the frustration make you say, you know what, I'm tired, I can't do it. But now I got to be a father to my kids. You know what I'm saying? My dad walked out on me. I never knew him. I don't even know what my dad looked like. So that's another thing that's in my head, a Willie Lynch mindset that's in my head. Like, I wasn't good enough for my daddy. Like, you know, I'm going to be there for my kids. So, like, when I'm writing in a lot of my songs, I'm not just ministering to people outside that's listening. I'm ministering to myself so I can keep it together.
Whoa, right. And I will tell you something. We spoke about this earlier too, PR. The best testimony, the best thing that you can give when you are spreading the word like that is to have walked that walk yourself. Mm-hmm. Because it's true to form. If the experience is there, you can talk to these people from the side of struggling, from the side of going through the struggle, and from overcoming to whatever point that you did. Mm-hmm. Because nobody is going to be a drug addict and look at a clean-cut person who's never smoked a drug a day in their life and go, yeah, you really understand what drug rehabilitation process is like.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
I tell everybody to be proud of your past if you've come from it, because this is without the past, there's no present, and without the present, there's no future. So,
I always tell people what you may be going through is not for you; it's for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you might be in a situation where you struggle, you're going through it, this, that, and the other, but when you make it out of it, what did you get out of it? You made it out. Now it's time for you to witness to somebody who was in there right now inside of that storm, because they need to hear that. Because that can get them out of it. And then, in turn, when they get out of it, they're supposed to pass the torch. They're supposed to keep going and keep going and keep going. It's not supposed to stop. When I get out the struggle, okay, I'm done. I'm going to turn my back on y'all. I'm good now. Now I'm supposed to go back and get the people who were in the struggle who were struggling with me.
Right.
Wonderful. Okay, I'm going to try this panelist one more time. I think that they're trying to come in. So hold on 1 second, please. Hi, welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Ashley. How are you? All right. Akeem. No. Brother Muhammad, you're next. Then Ashley. Then Akeem. And then there's one person behind you, Akeem. So hang on 1 second, okay?
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
I am.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hello. I spoke to you last week. This is Sarge, remember?
All right, Sarge. You have the mic after the ones before you, so just hang on, okay? All right.
Oh, okay.
Brother Muhammad, spin on this.
All right. Thank you. Brother, I definitely enjoyed your music and definitely keeping up, because we definitely need that message to get out there and begin to reverberate among our people. You also mentioned something during the interview. You talked about Moses and how that people, the slaves, did not really want to leave the land with Pharaoh. They were comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That is our plight today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that other side in which you see, because you also pointed out that back in the day we had different leaders, but now we really don't have it like that. Because this is our time now. We've been out here wandering in the wilderness, so to speak, for over 40 years. And the elders had to die off because they were not willing to challenge the giants in the promised land. So God did not take them. He used the children to take the children in to the promised land to defeat the giants. And that's what our job is today, is to go into the promised land and defeat the giants. So, brother, keep doing what you're doing and waking up these soldiers so that we may be able to do the job that we were born to do. Continue your awesome work, brother. I love it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, man. I needed that. That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Muhammad is another powerful brother that he's with you on the show, right, Carl?
Yeah. Actually, it's Maurice's network. So it's a legacy of a nation, and he was gracious enough to bring me into the fold. So, you know, I appreciate that. And listen, man, we get into it and we talk about this all the time. So, this message is definitely needed, and however, wherever we can get this message. I mean, Brother Maurice, tell them the message somebody left on the message board last week real quick after we had the show on, yesterday after we had the show on Thursday.
Yes, sir. That person was saying that listening in to the different programs that we have is giving them enough strength and courage to change the conditions that they themselves are in.
Mm.
So they use what they hear to pull themselves up and keep them stronger, yeah. So they keep tuning back in and tuning back in. So it is so important, brother, that you keep doing what you're doing and you get that message out there because the people are listening. This is
no
our
doubt.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
This is our time now. Do
if
your
you guys,
thing,
like man. I said, if you guys need me to come on the show, just let me know, man. I'm on that, John.
No doubt.
You know, and I don't know who that was that just brought up. We do got to rid the soldiers up, and who brought up the promised land? And it's crazy. I was just talking to a brother, and the brother's going to expand with me about what he was really talking about. But we do need this exodus, and it's come time soon, and we need to look at ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look at ourselves. And, you know, again, we're going to have a lot, you're going to have a lot of naysayers, because you mm-hmm. even got to have people who. Who are like, we even have people that's against the Willie Lynch letter. You know what I mean? We got
mm-hmm.
people that don't, that want to question this validity and everything, which is, you know, it's about people don't understand history. They don't
mm-hmm.
understand that it surmises a whole group of documents and things and history that is legitimate, verifiable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all put there in a convenient source that is helpful to really for our people to look back and see the really mental effects
mm-hmm.
of slavery and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another brother brought up the prophetic side of it all. Not only were they wandering around for 40 years, we now are about to reach, at least by their date of the beginning of slavery, the 400-year mark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just talk in terms of mental for just a minute, just to be safe enough. But let's talk mentally. Are we finally about to go against the grain, like my band said?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what we need to do. Finally
that's
go
what we
against the grain.
Do.
It's like a mental exodus. Is that exactly?
We
got to
do that. I think
we
as a people have to stand up and say, you know what? I don't care what he's doing. Talking about the man, the white man. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. You do what you do. We going to get ourselves out of this joint because we already know what y'all do because y'all keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's nothing new. It's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. It's the tears down. Once you tear the black man's mental down and make him feel less than, then you tear the whole family apart. You know what I'm saying? So it's up to that black man. You got to keep your mind. It's all about the mind. They can burn you. They can do whatever they want. They can't touch the mind. Don't let them get the mind. And that's one thing about me. I'm not letting them get my mind, man. And if I don't let them get my mind, then I could keep producing this music to put out there to put the anger, to put the hunger, to put the passion, to make people want to say, you know what, enough is enough. Let's go out. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm only saying what people say inside the barbershops. I'm only saying what people say inside of their houses. But they not saying when they get on the street because that's not the cool thing to say. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if it's the cool thing to say. I'm going to say it, and whatever happens, it happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, for this music right here, I'm ready to die for mine because I already know where I'm going to go. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know what? Before I bring on Ashley, isn't that exactly what we say about those white people that don't like what they see but don't say anything about it?
Mm-hmm.
If you're staying in the barbershops and you're not out in the neighborhood making a difference, you're
mm-hmm.
too worried about, you know, losing that paycheck or whatever the hell it is.
That's
you know,
what it's about.
Are we not doing the same thing that we complain is not happening from them? So how are we any better?
Mm-hmm.
It won't cost them anything to stay quiet or to say anything,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it will cost us everything. For
mm-hmm.
us to say anything, to wait for the next time to see what happens the next time around. When are we going to get that? I'm really, when I heard your song, the first one, so tired. I said, if this man is not in my mindset, like directly talking to me, you know, because you guys, well, see, you're new to the panel, PR, but the other fellas on here, they know me. I get to the point where I'll scream on the mic here. I'm like, I'm tired, you know. Who's not tired? You got to worry. My son walks around, Lord, he is 16 and a half, trying to go on 30, and I'm going to tell you something. This boy walks around with his hair braided up or sticking up. He loves to put a hoodie over his head whenever his hair isn't braided. He don't mind that every now and then his pants sag down, even though, you know, that I'm the type of mom that I'll literally kick him in the butt and go, I don't want to see your butt, pull yourself up, you know. But I'm afraid for him. He walks out this door, will he come home? And I know he's not a kid that gets in any trouble. I didn't raise him that way. And I'm not saying that teens don't do things on their own, but there's just some things that are not in a person's nature to do. So I'm sitting here going, I know what my son's goals are, but nobody's going to speak about that because they're going to look at his fashion. And he's tall, and he's pretty built, and he's black. So what on earth is going to happen to my son when he's standing in front of a grocery store with two of his friends and some white patrol car goes by? Because in this society, three black teenagers sitting in front of a store just cupping out with their soda is a mob. But eight rock song, punk rock, pierced face white teens just are told to break it up and go home. So when do
That's
we get
the exact double standard. That's the exact double standard. And the thing is, I was just hearing, you know, we already know, you know, I was hearing somebody made a joke saying, you know, ugly people tend to get sentenced more harshly than people that are so-called attractive, right? But when you look at it, you got to think about this. Overall, all of our kids that are black or have black features or even ascribe to black culture are going to be stigmatized at this point, right? At this point, I think, you know, when we talk about the now, if we let's say we're talking about the collapse of the economy that people are so worried about, Wall Street, so where everybody's so worried about, I think we're really talking about a collapse of the popular culture. I think we really are really for real talking about the collapse of, you know, racism and bigotry. That's really what we're talking about. And maybe it did take 400 entire years. Maybe it did take that long for the cesspool of ingenuity and wickedness on the side of white supremacy bigotry. You see what I mean? So it took 400 years for it to really boil to this head that it's about to boil to. And I'm seeing a head boiling. And it's something that I've been struggling with my whole life. And I'm just watching the boilers everywhere. And it's beautiful because we've all been dealing with the same, and we all keep this in common. We all feel this in common. We are, you know, we just really touches each of us. So I think one thing I want to say to myself and all of us, we should not downplay what this is right now. What we about to do? We should not downplay this at all. Don't play with it. You know, I got a 45 kid program right now of so-called less than desirable human beings by the standards of the United States bigot culture, but what I see is beautiful little vessels, soldiers, even potential for anything, you know. And I think they're going into this exodus, you know. They're going to be the first generation to really get it, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess somebody might have got it before. I'm not even concerned with it, but this one's going to get it. So
Thank
I think.
You. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Taylor.
No, I'm good. I'm sorry.
All right. Go ahead. Thank you for waiting.
I just want to say I agree completely with what everyone was saying, and I really think it's a great message and a great way to get it out there, because my number one opinion is that we need to educate as many people as possible, and we really need to find a way to get through to people, especially the younger generations, because – you know, history, the real history is not ever taught, and so history repeats itself, you know. And, you know, I'm glad someone did bring up the Willie Lynch, because I'm always using that as a reference, because that's pretty much how society is set up. And, you know, last night I was having a discussion about the same topic, and, you know, I think that the public displays of the injustices and the murders, you know, done to black people, you know, Eric Garner's, you know, obviously the one in the headlines right now, I think that is, you know, a perfect example of Willie Lynch, the continuation of Willie Lynch, because it's, you know, they, I mean, it's exactly what Willie Lynch letter says. And it's keeping the psychological hold on so many people, and, you know, it needs to be broken, you know, so things can change. You know, so I just want to say good job to everyone.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that.
And, P.I., you just got another post on one of my social media groups where one of my members just said that they post your songs on their all the groups he's in. And he's the ones that he said are hard edited and don't want to open their eyes about certain things, you know. And he said, you know, that I posted on anyway, regardless, because somebody will watch and listen. All right, Akeem, sweetie, thank you for waiting. You're up.
Hello?
Thank you for having me on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Where is this coming from?
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good.
All right, there's a little bit of feedback from somewhere, so, okay. Guys, okay, Akeem?
Yes.
All right, doll. You're up.
Oh, I just, you know, I always appreciate when someone, especially now that I have children, I can't listen to everything that I might have listened to in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody has a really good message and the music sounds good, that's always a blessing.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Check out the video. Did you see the video for Willie Lynch?
No, I didn't. But I'm going to check it out now.
Yeah, it's on YouTube and it's on Worldstar. If you just type in Willie Lynch PR, it should come up on YouTube. That's probably the best way for you to check it out, man. And if you like it, man, if you're on social media, share it for me, man. I appreciate that. Trying to get
well,
the message
actually,
out.
I did post it in the group on social media. And just to let you know, PR, you're going to have to try to get them to make you a little more front page on YouTube, because actually it's a little hard to find you beneath
okay.
all the other people. So tell your people to figure out a way, I don't know, to, I guess, customize you or unique, put you in a unique way to be
okay.
found. All right, because I know I was totally upset. I said, listen, this man deserves to be upfront with it. I don't care who else is PR or whatever the case is. He's the one. So
yeah.
that was it. All right, Sarge, you're up. Sarge?
Yes, how are you doing there?
Hi, thanks for waiting. You're up.
Okay, good. I think that your guest here has hit upon one of the most important aspects of the cultural decline in the black community that simply must be reversed. It's not optional. That is if we're to maintain a civilization in the black community. And it is reuniting black children with black men, most importantly and hopefully with their fathers, but if not, at least men who are capable of fulfilling that role. And you, sir, are doing the Lord's work quite literally. I think it is the most important single
fact so much.
To be
thank
corrected
so much.
In the black community. It is more important than correcting police brutality. It's more important than correcting the lack of black elected officials. It's more important than affirmative action. Anything. It is the most single important thing. Not to say the other things aren't important, but this is the most important thing. The only thing I would take exception with what you said was this will be the first generation to get the necessity for this, and actually previous generations did understand the necessity for this. They did, by and large, overwhelmingly for the most part, raise their children. That was lost starting about 50 years ago, but perhaps we can recover it, and I think people like you will help us to recover it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, man.
You see, PR, everybody is listening. You know, you're not as low down as you think. You're up here. And important people are listening. It doesn't matter how new you are. Listen, one of the things, and mostly in part to a couple of the panelists that are here tonight, when I did the show a year ago, okay, like I told you, it started over things that we were going through and we wanted to spread to the community. I don't like people thinking this is one of those professional expert viewpoint shows, because it's not. It's a point of people all being in it. And I had an anniversary show on May 20th, and when I heard, you know, you wonder sometimes, are people listening? Or what are we really doing? And then you hear people giving you feedback such as, you know, when I first listened to the show, I was going through this, and this is what happened. Not only people who were on the air, but I've got people in inboxing, you know, on the post, you know, in the walls and stuff. And you guys know me, I'm an onion head. When things hit me like that, I start crying like crazy, and I couldn't stop crying on that broadcast because people were listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at right now, listening to your listeners give their feedback on the music, and I'm in awe right now. I'm just sitting back, just like, wow, the message is getting out there, the message is being heard, and it's just making me motivated to put more work out. Like I was telling Kay, for all the listeners, I got a song called The Huxtables coming out. Please listen out for that. It's going to be crazy. It's just something for the hope for the community, man, just what we need to do. I take you to the past. I bring you to the future. It's the whole. It's going to be great. It's something for black people, period, the song Huxtable. So just keep your ears open for that, Joe.
Okay. Do any of you have any questions for him? I'll start with you, Al-Tariq. Okay. Professor. Okay, we're going to the line. Stalo?
No, I'm here.
Okay, what's up, Professor?
Well, you know, I'm moving to a noisy house, so I have to keep my mute button on. But, hey, bro, we do this while we, you know, where we at, so.
Yeah, no doubt. I was in the bathroom for a minute, so I, you know what I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, that's too much information on the show.
Oh, no, I wasn't, you know, I was hiding out, that's what I was trying to do.
I never considered linking up with other artists that are saying the same message and putting together working on some projects where you could collaborate. I know that Katie had another brother on the show maybe about a month ago who was also a conscious singer, and he was able to put in some, he put out some real good work, and
okay.
You know, have you ever considered that for you know, any future projects?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on the road and working with a couple people right now. If anybody got any ideas and I like the message and the beats hot and it's something that we can sit down and collaborate with, I'm always out open for it, man. Anything that's going to push the message, man, it's not about me. It's not anything. I'm just trying to push this brand against the grain and put that out there. But if it fits the mold on what we're trying to do and it doesn't mess with my creative side and all that, then I'm definitely for it, man. Anything to push the message. My whole message is trying to put hope back into our community so we can go on and start building and rebuilding what we had, you know what I'm saying, what we came from, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely open for that.
Right.
Oh, awesome. And you're right there with one of the greatest men I know, and that's with the professor himself. So, Professor, you really need to network with him with your What About Us project as well so that, you know, this can continue because, you know, at every turn, they're going to try to hold down the weeds, if you know what I'm saying. So
mm-hmm.
It's up to us. Now, I'm going to ask down the line, guys, I want you to just allow to take a break. We have about 35 minutes left in the show, and I want to get PR's Catch'em, you know, played out right now. Those of you that have questions, while the song is playing, you can think it up, and I'll come back in to ask. PR, hang out with me, Dave, okay? I'll talk to you just a little bit.
Okay,
all right, guys. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is his latest. It is called Catch'em. He is speaking about gun violence in the club, how we don't want it. So let's listen in. And we will be back to take your questions, okay? Don't go away.
Yo.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hella. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hella. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hella. I don't think they feeling me. Look at the way they grilling. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hella. Catch him.
Before you hit the club, be in the mirror, I'ma kill these niggas. Then have a couple drinks and actually kill them. It's just a problem when we go out. Feeling need to show out.
shorty walk by, wanna pull that bank roll out. The youngin' in the back like I'm a kiddie when he roll out. Catch the ball slipping, then he pull that fo-fo out. The one that play the wall, we the ones that really draw. Actin' stupid like you don't got a pocket full of raw. Mean muggin', buggin', call himself thuggin'. Paid $10 just to get into something. Before the night's out, he gon' end up in something like a jail cell. Oh well, no money for bail. All cause he was up in here, turned up off pills and dippers. That's like ride around with no stickers. Smoking on the L with a bottle full of liquor. He would rather fight than be with the models taking pictures. Danger, danger, stress leads to anger. Throw a low pocket in and now we got the banger. Pointed at strangers, do us a favor. Turn that gun around and won't you look in the chamber. Since you wanna kill somebody, kill your body. We can drag him in the alley, you ain't gonna kill his party. Next time you bring your gun, please leave it in the car. Cause we shouldn't have the duck bullets leaving out the bar.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. Catch him at the bar.
When that gun busts, it won't hit none of y'all. It'll ricochet off the bar and hit one of us. And I ain't come for that. I ain't try running that. Trampin' over people running back like a running back. All cause he built you, yeah. That ain't no step back. Man, I'm trying to two-step. You try crew check. Trying to have a good time. You try to kill my vibe. Don't kill people. Homie, kill time by dancing with a little mommy. You ain't got Superman. You ain't got Dougie Fresh. Just don't do the shoot the man. Tough looks like grills. He's sweeter than Joanna, man. Why you worry about me? You acting like you want a man. Up in the club and bull acting like the sun of sand. Waving his gun around. Really need to simmer down, cool off, relax. Yo, that's your bulldog. Ask him if he cool, dog. He looking like a fool, dog. Danger, danger, stress leads to anger. Throw a low back in and now we got the banger. Point it at strangers, do us a favor. Turn that gun around and won't you look in the chamber. Since you wanna kill somebody, kill your body. We can drag him in the alley, you ain't gonna kill his party. Next time you bring your gun, please leave it in the car. Cause we shouldn't have the duck bullets leaving out the bar.
Uh-oh, here they go again.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. I don't think they're feeling me. Look at the way they curl. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. I don't think they're feeling me. Look at the way they curl me.
Danger, danger, stress leads to anger. Throw a low pocket and now we got the banger. Pointed at strangers, do us a favor. Turn that gun around and won't you look in the chamber. Since you wanna kill somebody, kill your body. We can drag him in the alley, you ain't gonna kill his party. Next time you bring your gun, please leave it in the car. Cause we shouldn't have the duck bullets leaving out the bar.
Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell. Catch him at the bar, flashing bills, no hell.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody, to On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We have P.R. Robinson in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting all your feedback. He's loving it, and it's for a wonderful reason, along with a bunch of other power panelists on this segment tonight. So I'm going to bring them all back in so we can finish on our last half. And P.R., are you with me?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
All right. Thanks. Hold on 1 second. Tariq, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Professor?
I'm here.
All right. Milo? Shayla, you back? Okay. Brother Muhammad?
I'm here.
All right. And let's bring in our others. Akeem? Okay. And last but not least, Sarge, are you back?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be here.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. So, PR, let me ask you this. What would you say to all the young, aspiring young artists that are out there that's trying to get into the field? We spoke about this a little earlier, and specifically, I'm going to ask you this question from this angle. We know that, according to media, and I say this often on my segments, we have been reduced, watered down, dissected, diluted to the point of believing that the only two options for black success is either to be an athlete or to be a rap artist. Now, with that being said, you're in the music side of this. So tell them, I mean, what is it that inspires you to want to come out? You got all the flair of the hip-hop beats. You've got the video swag. You've got all of that. But yet you do it in a way that is not about the catch your paper right away, you know, attitude and approach. So what would you say to the artists that are disillusioned by the only way you be successful is to degrade yourself in the process?
I would tell them to, first of all, stop listening to who they're listening to, you know what I'm saying? Because that's not a true statement. You don't have to degrade yourself. My thing with, like, music is originality lasts longer, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you follow suit with the rapper that's out right now, when his time is over, your time is over, because all you are is a shadow. So I would tell them to be creative. Keep it 100. Keep it real within yourself, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to do that. I mean, a lot of people do it and they make a lot of money off of it, but that's not everybody. The chances of a person becoming a rapper is like 0.001 chance in a million. You know what I'm saying? So if you're original and you have substance and you got to be hot and you got to be creative and you got to have something to stand on. You got to have a foundation. Don't just come out and just rap and just be a rapper. You got to have something that you're branding. You know what I'm saying? Like, my brand is Against the Grain. What is your brand? What do you want people to remember you for? Do you want them to remember you for just this regular, you know, talking about the same stuff that this man is talking about? No, you want to be remembered for something great. So I would tell them to reach down in themselves, be a leader, not a follower, and pursue your dream. And make sure, try to be positive and be witty with it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, step outside of the box. Don't get in the box. And me, personally, I hate traffic. You know what I'm saying? And in that game, it's a lot of traffic. I got my own lane. You know what I'm saying? And I can put it on cruise control, and I'm just going the way I'm going. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I would tell the Young Bucks, man. Just be a leader and not a follower, man.
You know what? I can't tell you to drop the mic yet either, because we still got time on the show. Man, you just sit in this knowledge and this power. And like I said, like, the more you talk, the more that the power is coming out from where we are.
Thank you.
We are so disillusioned. It's like it's a mess. Everything we spoke about, another situation, all the athletes that are coming out. Why is it that all the gay athletes that are coming out, they're coming out as the African-American sports guys, and when they come out or when white media puts them out there, they say it under the blanket of bravery. This is what they say. Oh, we felt compelled to come out because we want to lead the way for other people who are trying to get this message across. No, you're not, because if that's all it was about, then why aren't the white gay athletes talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my question. Why is it, and like I brought up before, we don't have that community outrage. The LGBT community has gone after Professor Jones. They've gone after anybody that says any one of those words in a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And they will try to outrage you into submission.
Mm-hmm.
You get posts up the behind. You get all sorts of circulation in the media. You get people coming up as experts talking about how it's a discrimination for you to just say the word gay. But
mm-hmm.
if you're so proud of who you are, why, A, do you feel the need to constantly publicize your private life? Because really, what is the gay culture? The
mm-hmm.
gay culture is not just you being a person. If that's the case, I'm a black woman. I'm a black Latina woman. I don't walk around having to say that in a banner every day. I'm just a written person.
You know what kills me about the whole, if I could touch on it real quick, the gay and lesbian community, I really cannot stand it when they compare it to the civil rights movement. That drives me crazy because the fact is we didn't have a choice to be black. We didn't have a choice, you know what I'm saying, to get beaten, hit with whips and chained and ripped apart by animals and beat and water hose sprayed at. We didn't have no choice. They were doing that to us just because of the color of our skin. We couldn't go and hide that. A homosexual can hide that they're gay. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have to tell nobody that they're gay, and we won't know as long as they're not flamboyant and going crazy. So you can't compare the two. I think that is one of the most ignorant statements that I've ever heard. And the first time I heard it was when Madonna said it at the Grammys. I think it was at the Grammy Awards. She said, you know, this is similar to the civil rights movement. And I thought that was just a smack in our face. Like, how can you compare the two? There's no comparison.
Oh, she's an idiot. She's a whole hot mess.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, did you hear that? Like, have you ever heard that comparison?
Yep.
And it drives me crazy, man.
She was also in the news for tweeting the word nigga about her son and had the nerve to sit there and try to defend it by saying, I didn't say it in that way, and I only used it to my son, which, by the way, he's Caucasian. And what does that mean to us? First of all, we did this to ourselves because we took the most disgusting epithet that was created for nothing but dissection, but to bring us down, but to call us the worst type of name and the worst type of life. And because we don't know how to stand up and fight for ourselves, for our pride, we turned it into a cool little culture by taking off ER and adding a damn A to the end of it. And the biggest insult in the whole game to me is now all these white artists who, by the way, they don't come out and make it on their own. They make it on rap sounds, on collaborating with black artists, on making a country sound that has a hip hop flair. And guess what? We sit there go, yeah, he's spinning that too. I guess you were trying to say something, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I was just reiterating what you were saying. I mean, you make a lot of sense, and I have a fault with that. I use the word the N word. I won't say it because obviously you have you don't like that word, but I use that. You know what I'm saying? It's part of my slang, and a lot of people always ask me, why do you use that word? Why do you use that word? And like me, like I always tell people, like you said, it was we learned. I learned it from the old heads. And the old heads learned it from their old heads, and it's just been trickled down. So it's just like now, it's to me, I just look at it as a slang. When I'm talking to my boys, that's the word I use, and I'm not saying it's right, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But me saying that is saying that maybe we do need to look. I do need to look at myself about that word and change it. But I don't see nothing wrong with it. Maybe you guys do, you know what I'm saying? But I just don't, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a habit. I've been using that word for the longest.
Well, PR, this is the professor, Professor Carl Tone Jones. Personally, I don't even have a beef with you using it. And this is just my thing. My thing is, this is certain things white people can't do.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Like, I'm not arguing that. That's 100%.
No,
yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah, I could dig that, yeah.
You know, I grew up using it, and, you know, I mean, I'm trying to reform myself. I go to the, you know, don't say the word nigga rehab every once in a while. So I can try to, you know, wean myself off of it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it catches up to you.
Yeah,
but at the same token, there's certain things that they can't do. And
yeah,
that's the whole concept behind that. And so if me and you sitting there having a conversation and that word come up a couple of times, okay, I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber sitting next to me having that conversation,
nah.
I'm gonna smack the hell out of him. And that's just how we And I really think that we need, you know, and somehow Katie brought up the whole homosexual thing, because that was on the show me and Brother Maurice was on about a month ago, and that thing lingered for like 2 weeks. We were getting emails and messages for like 2 weeks about that, and we had changed the topic and everything. But getting back to the whole concept, we really do need to take this message and to caramelize it, because you're saying things as conscious, and we need to start doing things as making brothers and sisters think.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a similar message to Harlem, and it was similar about, well, listen, we can't expect them to get us out of the situation that they put us in, because
mm-hmm.
it benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all on us,
mm-hmm.
and it starts in the household. You know, I have no problem with saying that part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's no one part that's more important than the other. We need to do it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we need to address what's going on inside our homes. We need to prepare our children for white supremacy. We need to address the people who are presenting the racist manifestations against us. We need to address them. We often talk about the need for militia, the need for a financial resolution to our plight in dealing with them. And I think that we also need the spiritual resolution in some
mm-hmm.
way, shape, or form, where we resonate with that spirit
mm-hmm.
that's kin to us all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that through music is probably one of the most powerful ways to resonate with somebody's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you utilize your music and you send that message, and that message is resonating, now all of a sudden somebody might be in the mood to say, you know what, today is the day I'm going to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be something that subconsciously has just been vibing with them. But we all know that as Africans, we are all spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
And we vibe with things on a spiritual level that other people don't have. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have that soul. And it's something how we joke about having soul. So
mm-hmm.
we have rhythm. We could dance and stuff. But that's our connection. That's our melanin resonating with the universe, and people don't understand that. And when you put that music in, the music is one of the things, the vibration from the music.
It's vibration.
And
you
made
it right on the news,
the
vibrations, yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so that's a powerful thing. So we need to harness that and combine it with all the messages that we're doing and that we're putting out there, and we need to really, really push and pump information in the fashion that you present it.
No doubt, man. Appreciate that.
Katie, you know, I'd like to say that the brother's music is a perfectly accurate description of the kind of violence that does go on in these barroom brawls. And as a police officer, you know, I mean, I saw the aftermath of many of these idiotic contests. Now, it's been my experience that it basically is one of two causes. Number one, somebody who's either a target of opportunity or a deliberate chance encounter with either a drug-dealing rival, somebody
mm-hmm.
who they had a beef with in another respect, gambling debt or something on the street, or they're trying to impress a ratchet woman who apparently is impressed by such things with
mm-hmm.
some kind of out-of-control, macho, idiotic display of firearms. I guess they're going to resolve it this way. And in almost every single case, invariably, the people who are doing the shooting in the bar are already legally disallowed from owning any firearm in the first place, because usually there are multiple convicted felons. And I don't know how you fix this kind of thing with people like that, other than to try to keep them under control before they get the opportunity to do it. So I'd like to congratulate you for accurately describing the problem, if nothing else. As to what kind of solution I know you do to fix it, I don't know. And secondly, when you're discussing the extolling of these sort of depraved characters who have now become, now look, everybody knows, when I was growing up, yeah, you know, there's always been a fascination with these seedy characters. I mean, look, Jesse James, John Dillinger, you know, guys like that, you know, on the sadist side, the criminal side, or Dolomite, a Staggerly. And, yeah, we'd have a little fun with that kind of thing. But you know what? This worship of the lumpen proletariat and extolling them and holding them up as some kind of new paradigm we're all supposed to be aspiring to, even if you want to take the athlete scholar example, when I was growing up, the kind of athletes I was taught to emulate and admire were people like Jackie Robinson, a true athlete and scholar, extremely articulate, well-behaved man, or if it was an entertainer, it'd be somebody like Sidney Poitier, a man of grace, intelligence, and absolute role model for his behavior, both in his public life and his private life. And even today, you can find those who are worthy of that kind of emulation, or even entertainers, people like Denzel Washington, people who behave themselves and comport themselves with dignity, grace, and elegance all the time. And I could go on and on if I want to leave the sports and entertainment field with hundreds of examples of black men and women who are worthy of being extolled and congratulated and admired and put on a pedestal as role models and examples. But today, because of the general cultural Marxism in society, what we're being told is this new kind of lumpen proletariat that we really is really the authentic, quote, authentic, unquote, side of people, the real people who are keeping it real. And these are the people who are really the kind of heroes we need to be worshiping, not them old stodgy types, you know, because they ain't real. They ain't authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, we got to resist this sort of temptation. We got to go back to what was real and what did matter and what did extol us and make us better. And we got no end to examples if we care to find them.
And, Sarge, I agree with you totally. And there's a couple of points that I want to, you know, add on to what you're saying. First of all, let me do say that everything that PR does has been an accurate description. So that's definitely what kept drawing me to what, you know, you were bringing out, PR. But